For our scripture reading this evening, let us turn to the book called Revelation, chapter 14. And we read the verses 1 through 13. Revelation chapter 14, the first 13 verses. And there we read God's holy word. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, he receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of that torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, and they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So far the reading of the Word of God. The text of the sermon on this New Year's Eve is found in the portion we read, Revelation 14, verse 13. And there we read the text of the sermon. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Beloved congregation, the hourglass of 2018 is emptying rapidly. This year is coming to an end, and all that has passed this year cannot be removed. Like every other year, also this year was filled with joy and sadness. Many have passed away. And as we are here or listen along, the Lord has spared us all this year in his goodness and long suffering. And at the threshold of a new year, we are reminded of another threshold. As all things will one day die, we will as well, soon or later. We all are moving closer to the day that we will breathe our last, or that the Lord Jesus comes again. Maybe you find it difficult or unpleasant to be confronted with this reality. And this is understandable. And for that reason, we do well by listening to God's word that has a message for the living ones. Because of our sin, death has come into this world. Sin causes separation between God and your soul. Death is the wages of sin. And this will render it to you and me. It is a most urgent question. What will our death look like? And I hope you are open to this question, since it's life's most important question. The text we want to listen to on this last day of the year speaks about death. It says, "Blessed are the dead." And we want to write these words above the sermon. Blessed are the dead. First of all, who are blessed? Secondly, why they are blessed? And thirdly, how they can be sure of this. Blessed are the dead. Who are blessed? Why they are blessed? And how they can be sure of this. The text we are listening to tonight is about dead persons who are blessed. That sounds odd. Can there be a dead person who is perfectly happy, who can be called blessed? Death means that life is absent. A dead person cannot die anymore. And you are right. We will understand the meaning of these words better when we change the word order a bit. Those who die in the Lord are the blessed dead. The emphasis is on which die in the Lord. And what can be said about them? That they are blessed. Those who die in the Lord are blessed and continue that way, even when dead. This is about an everlasting blessedness that will not be taken from the dead. And therefore we read in our text, "Blessed are the dead." The text is about dying and what happens thereafter. To die is quite something. To die means that you have to say farewell. When you die, you leave all behind. You have to say farewell to friends and relatives. You need to say goodbye to your loved ones. To die also means that you will move from time to eternity. And when a person dies, his life does not simply stop. No, to die means that you go through a process that ends in eternal glory. Or eternal misery. And the circumstances in which you will pass away may vary. In the days of the Apostle John, there was severe persecution under Emperor Domitian. Christians suffered severely. You can also die in peace and freedom. You can die in an accident or after a disease. You can die old, but also young. Your death can be peaceful, but also with many afflictions. It can be a quiet death, but also a violent. The the way and circumstances we die in is not decisive. The manner of death does not reveal someone's eternal destination. Someone can pass away with a smile on his face, or with a fearful expression in his eyes. Whatever the expression may be, we are not allowed to draw rash conclusions. Whether it is well with someone who dies, whether it will be well with you and me when we die, depends on whether we die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. This only is a peaceful death. What does this expression mean, to die in the Lord? It means that you die while engrafted in the Lord Jesus Christ by a true faith. It means that there is a living bond between the Lord and you. To die in the Lord is only possible if we live in and through the Lord Jesus. And a life with Him precedes, goes before dying in Him. And this is the best preparation before you die. Namely, that you seek Christ and that you abide in Him. In Him is an expression that occurs many times in the epistles of Paul. In Him are those who have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus. He is the head of the church, and every true believer is a member of His church. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." And by nature, we live apart from God and His Christ. We have gone astray. We are born in sin. Paul says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in Romans 3, we read, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one." And what we deserve is nothing but death. However, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are justified by faith. And the one who is united to Christ is regenerated. He knows of the new life that is in Christ. And by faith he receives all treasures of grace, namely the forgiveness of sin, peace in his heart, eternal salvation, and much more. And he receives all these benefits out of free grace alone. And the one who is in Christ has discovered his terrible condition. He knows that he deserves the damnation of hell. The Holy Ghost has opened his heart, and his will is bent to the will of God. His mind is illuminated so that he begins to understand God's word. The light of the gospel uncovers your sin and guilt, and you truly become a sinner before God, and you seek peace with God. God makes room in your life for the person and work of the Lord Jesus. You find peace with Him because of His accomplished work by which He has obtained eternal salvation for sinners. And to have a living bond with the Lord Jesus calls for a daily exercise of faith. To be in Christ does not mean that you at one time prayed earnestly, and that since that moment you believe that all is well with your soul. No, to live in the fear of the Lord means a daily exercise of faith, a daily trusting in Him. You daily die to self, so that room is made for spiritual fruit to His honor and glory, especially the fruit of repentance and faith. This is true that the Lord himself works while united to him. We find a clear picture of this in John chapter 15, namely the vine and the branches. You will bear fruit only if you are in the vine, drawing lifeblood from it. A genuine relation with the Lord is the only way for a branch to bear fruit. And the person who knows of daily communion with God will also die in the Lord, says our text. Why? Well, since the Lord has stripped death from its power. When the Lord Jesus made reconciliation for his people on the cross at Golgotha, death was dethroned and became powerless. Christ Jesus has borne the penalty in the stead of his people. He was condemned to death for them. He has suffered eternal damnation for them. The sting of death is taken from death. We are created to live forever. But sadly enough, we have chosen for death. Jesus Christ has come into this world to die and to obtain life for them worthy people. Do you notice that for the salvation of his people, he has paid with the high price of his blood? And because of his redemptive work, salvation is guaranteed. All the given of the Father will come home. He himself guarantees it. And for their instruction and comfort, he exercises his people's faith. How? By teaching them the ground of salvation. To live in the Lord means that you learn to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And only if you have a sight of him and his accomplished work, you will live and die comforted. What do you see then? Well, you get a sight of Christ's accomplished work. You get a sight of Christ's wounds. What do you learn when you look at his wounds? That you deserve the penalty of death. You deserve eternal death. You will confess, I am the cause of his wounds. And at the same time, his wounds remind you of his everlasting love by which he has loved his own. He descended into death, and his scars testify of this. And on the day of his resurrection, he showed his disciples his scars to assure them that he is the same that died. He who sacrificed his life is now ascended into heaven with a renewed body. He is the great surety of his people. And he is the firstborn of the dead. And all those who are in Christ will live as well. Though death may present itself to God's people, they will continue to live. When they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they will fear no evil, for the Lord is with them. And when you look to Christ by a true faith, then the sting is out of death. However, this will not always be experienced by God's people. And so often they fear when they think of death. When there is no clear sight of Christ, fear so easily enters the heart. You see, daily exercise of faith is so important. In this way, you will experience the truth of the words, "Blessed are the dead." And what is decisive when you die? Not whether you fear death or not, neither whether you will be in much pain or not. It's not decisive whether you are conscious at the time you die. Decisive is whether you have found life in Christ Jesus. Whether your sins are forgiven. Whether you are reconciled with God. Whether you are united to Christ by a true faith. Decisive is whether you believe that all God's promises are yea and amen in Him. Then you may rest. Then you may lay down your head on Christ's righteousness when you die. And the question comes to you and me on this New Year's Eve. Do you know whether all your sins of this last year are forgiven? If God were to call you to appear before His throne of justice at the end of this year, will then be said of you, he or she is blessed since he abides in Christ? Only if Christ lives in you and you in him, by the applicatory work of the Spirit, you shall die in the Lord. And then indeed you are prepared to die. But what about you? If you get called out of this life now, what then? If you don't know the Lord by faith, you will also die apart from Him. And then, says the Lord Jesus in John chapter 8, you shall die in your sins. If you remain impenitent, you will sink away and receive the wages of sin. Eternal perdition. The scripture is very clear on this. The chapter we read tonight shows us two different ways and two different destinations. Either you worship the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, or you worship the beast, Satan, and all his followers. If you don't live in Christ, then you still worship the beast. And you will end up in eternal torments and never have rest or peace, day nor night. Your life may seem successful and blessed with much prosperity. You may consider yourself to be a happy man or woman. You may sense peace and rest in your life. You may feel comfortable with the way you live now. This doesn't mean that you are saved. Our text says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. You need to know the Lord in this lifetime. Otherwise, it will not be well with you when you die. The hourglass of 2018 is emptying. Do you dare to finish this year unconverted? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And don't be satisfied with a peaceful feeling or some reasoning whereby you conclude that you are saved. Don't be satisfied unless you know that you are in Christ on biblical grounds. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. That means right away after they die. There's neither purgatory nor a waiting room after death. All who pass away go straight to their eternal destination. This we understand from the parable about the rich man and poor Lazarus. When the poor man died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That means, according to the vernacular of the Jews, that he was with God right away after he died, since he died in the Lord. And when you die in the Lord, you will have perfect communion with God. Your confidence in God may be tried moments before death. You can also be taken away suddenly while you are sitting in a chair having an everyday conversation with someone. Those who are in Christ will die in the Lord and will be with Him, with the triune God, when they die. They are saved. Though salvation is then perfect, it will not yet be consummated. It is not yet complete, since the body remains on earth. The body will dissolve and return to dust. Salvation will reach its fullness on the day of Jesus' second coming, when all His own will resurrect in a renewed body, enabling them to serve God with soul and body perfectly. But what is salvation? Now we have come to our second thought, namely, why the dead are blessed. What is the content of their salvation? Why they are blessed? Well, this blessedness comprises many aspects. We can glean some of these aspects from the Beatitudes recorded in Matthew 5. The text we are listening to this evening mentions two aspects. We read, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. What is meant by this? Well, first of all, believers will rest from their labors. You need to know that the Greek words which are used here mean toil, hard work. In this text, it is about toiling, hard work performed by believers. These point to all they suffer in this lifetime. In the days of the Apostle John, the church was persecuted. The church was attacked from all sides. God's people will suffer. The Lord Jesus said, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But there's more than persecution. The labors of believers also refer to all the efforts they have to put forth in this lifetime. This also concludes the difficulties of life, like sickness, pain, sorrow, loneliness, tension in marriage, family, or work, and all other kinds of trials. Every person's life has a shadow side, and we all know of life's difficulties. Even children and young people meet with difficulties and run into serious problems. We all suffer losses, the one more than the other. God's people are not exempt from suffering, rather the opposite. But there's more. God's people have an extra difficulty that requires hard work. Believers know of the fight against the three-headed mortal enemy, the devil, the world, and their own flesh. True believers suffer from the power of sin, from the attacks of the devil, and from their own foolishness. However, on the day of death, they are delivered from these struggles. They will rest from all their labors. Prior to this, they need to fight a hard battle. Generally speaking, many hardships need to be suffered so that our end will be peaceful. In this lifetime, you so easily fall back into sin and get entangled in the snares of Satan. You so easily trust your own deceitful heart. In this lifetime, you will never retire from this battle. And when you experience peace, the devil will try to make you restless. And if you fall into sin, he tries to make you feel hopeless. And when you go astray by following the lusts of your flesh, he tells you that you are not a genuine child of God, for a child of God would show forth more holiness in his life. This is one of the traits of spiritual life. You can count on trials and difficulties. The dainties of the world try to entice you. The devil does not want you to find rest in Christ. And you get tired of all this. And this makes life difficult. It causes pain and grief inside. And due to all these trials and difficulties, you're not able to serve the Lord as He is worthy. Love looks forward to a full salvation. And at times, God's people can be jealous of those who already died in the Lord. They look forward to eternal peace. Solomon says, "Wherefore I praised the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. Because those who die in the Lord may rest from their difficult life, from their strenuous labors. Rest from sin, rest from the attacks of the devil, rest from fighting against my natural inclination to disobey. Rest from all that hinders a close communion with the Lord." What is rest? The pinnacle of rest is joy in God. It is the holy rejoice in God's attributes. And this perfect rest comes from God. God rested on the Sabbath day after he had finished his creation. God did not rest because he was tired of his work. No, on the Sabbath day, the Lord rejoiced in his own creation. And those who by grace die in the Lord will enter an everlasting rest, an everlasting joy in the triune God. That is true rest. It is to live entirely according to the principles of that new life. And then you are free from temptations, free from the devil, free from self. It is a rest which believers already know of, at least in part, in this lifetime, when they rest on Christ's accomplished work. Are you tired from all the sins you committed this year? Do you sigh under the many temptations that plagued you this year? Is the year of the Lord 2018 filled with many things that burden you? There is rest in Christ from all that makes you tired. Yes, all your toil, all your struggles, all your battles will vanish when you lay your head on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he invites you this evening, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the full and complete rest will be experienced soon for all who are in Christ. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. Do you recognize something of this battle? Do you sigh at the close of this year that you could not offer the Lord what he deserves? You know yourself to be weak and vulnerable, and you cannot help yourself. You sigh with the poet, I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. If you are united to the Lord, you will die in him as well. And then you will rest from your labors. Then you will be dismissed from the duty here on earth. It will be a sad day for those who survive. That is merciless. But it will be a blessed day for you the moment you die in the Lord. And their works to follow them, says the close of our text. There's a second aspect of blessedness you receive. Their works to follow them. Their works, not their possessions. Please pay attention to this. When you pass away, you will not take along anything of this world. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So stop with putting so much effort into getting a nicer car, a bigger home, striving for honor and glory, satisfying the desires of your flesh. For what purpose do you seek after all these things? When you die, you cannot take along silver or gold. Neither your pension or your beautiful home. You leave it all behind. According to our text, there is one thing that follows true believers. Their works, which mean their good works. What is a good work? This is poignantly put into words in Lord's Day 33 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Good works are works that proceed from a true faith, performed according to the law of God, and to his glory. They are the works done out of gratitude. Works that are done out of love to the Lord and his service. That is faith working through love. These works are a fruit of the Spirit. These works display the new life which the Holy Spirit imparts and maintains. And what the Spirit has begun in the heart of believers will be manifested in their daily lives, since they want to walk in newness of life out of gratitude. And when they die in Christ, they will see all the fruit on their labors. What is the profit of these good works? Can you earn something? No, you cannot merit anything with good works. Neither will you be praised by others, nor do they cause a good feeling. These works are performed in silence, and they are performed against the wishes of your own flesh. Just recall the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 25. On the day of his second coming, the great separation will take place between the believers and unbelievers. And what will he say to the righteous ones? He will say, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. But the righteous will answer, Lord, when? When saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When was it? Well, when you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me. This is fruit of spiritual life. Looking at self, you conclude that you have forfeited all. You also know the miracle of God's seeking love, and you become so small and so thankful that you cannot but be gracious to others. And then you will visit a person in need, since you cannot let him go in his need. You are driven by God's love. And you will not merit anything by performing good works. You are saved by grace alone, because of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet good works will follow after death. What does this mean? It means that when you enter eternal glory, you will marvel about all the good works you have performed. And you will be thankful toward God, namely that He has enabled you to do all these works for God's honor and glory. Their good works will follow them. They don't go first. The gate of heaven will not be opened because of your good works. No, the gate is open since the Lamb of God has opened the gate by His blood. He goes first, and all His will follow, and their works will follow them as well. Otherwise, no one would get saved. We can be saved only because of the sacrifice of the Lamb. And if you follow Him, you will marvel about God's grace on the day of your death. And once in glory, you will glorify Him. You will glorify Him because of the good works that follow you. It speaks of God's work in and through you. And you will marvel. Who am I? I was not suitable for the Lord and His service, but by God's grace, now I am. Glory be to God for all these benefits. And you will praise the triune God for the fruit you bore in this lifetime. And you will acknowledge, God has performed a good work in me. He even has added fruit to faith. And may this comfort all those who are in Christ at the close of the year 2018. All you did this year fell short of the glory of God. But by God's grace, it will be valued according to the accomplished work of Christ. God will purify all works. And soon when you die, you will see all the good works which God has caused you to perform during this lifetime. And then you will rejoice in God's gracious work performed in you and the fruit that you could bear forever. Can you be sure that this will happen? Yes, you can. The Lord knows of the afflictions of His children. He knows of their weakness, their readiness to fall into diverse temptations. And therefore, He gives a threefold assurance of this solemn benediction. Now we have come to our third thought, namely that those who live in the Lord can be sure of a blessed death. In the midst of all afflictions, you are pointed to what John heard from heaven. We turn back to the beginning of our text. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me. He heard a voice from heaven. It did not come from the earth. It was not fiction, but real. God has a message for this world, and he wants to comfort and encourage his church. And John watches the fearful battle between the beast and God's church. But God assures the apostle that what he hears is true. The dead will be blessed. And God assures you by speaking to you under the proclamation of the gospel. When God speaks to you personally, you can be sure, can't you? And this should be enough. However, the Lord knows of our weaknesses. He is so good and wise, he adds the testimony of the Holy Ghost. Yea, saith the Spirit. The Holy Ghost responds to the voice from heaven with a firm Amen. He puts a stamp on God's word. How? By distributing and applying God's word to the hearts of all believers. And what happens when the Spirit does his precious work in the heart of believers? He confirms to them that they are partakers of Christ and his benefits. He opens their eyes anew for the benefits that are found in Christ. And the Spirit convicts that they personally partake of that salvation. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that those are blessed who die in the Lord. And what I hear with my natural ears every Lord's Day will be brought into my heart by the Spirit. Then you are inwardly touched and convinced. The Spirit convinces you of his truth personally, so that you will acknowledge the Lord has spoken this to me. I am called by my name. And you cannot but believe that the Lord shall set you free at last. And at times you enjoy a measure of assurance of your share in these rich blessings. And at these moments, faith is in exercise. And you know for sure, the Lord is my portion. And since the Lord wants to assure his people throughout history, he provides a third testimony. The inner testimony of the believers can be so weak. And therefore the Lord, in his goodness, condescends very low. And he puts the words we hear in writing. Here it stands, black on white. And now there is no reason for any believer to doubt. Here it is recorded. It is true, since it is God's word. And even when you don't sense the power of this truth, even when you don't experience it, it nevertheless is recorded here. And you are allowed to go to these words every moment of the day. Lord, thou hast said, and it is recorded in Scripture, that those are blessed who die in the Lord. Grant me faith to believe. Come, O Lord, and help me. Teach me to lean on thy word. And in this way, the Lord assures his people of their salvation. He has declared it to his church via the Apostle John, and now here in the preaching. He has given the Spirit who testifies of the truth, and the Lord has recorded it in Scripture, so that you can lay your hand on it, pleading his word. God's salvation is secure as God is Lord, who cannot lie. And this should be enough. With this certainty, you can cross the border. The border of this passing year, but especially the border of this life to eternity. What must the Lord do to take away all your doubts and unbelief? We should not try to be wiser than God. Faith is by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit grants faith because of the marriage of the Lord Jesus Christ. How will you end this year? As a blessed person? Or still bearing the curse due to your sin? There's no third way. There's no need to leave this year without the Lord. The risen Lord has conquered sin, Satan, and death. Blessed are you that live in the Lord. Then you will also die in the Lord, entering eternal bliss. Amen.